Well, good morning, Devin. So great to see you again today. You know, with it being Thanksgiving weekend, I'd normally, I guess, would be talking about thankfulness and Thanksgiving stuff, right? But because we're in the middle of working through this wonderful acronym that we've been looking at these past few weeks, I felt we'd better focus on thankfulness maybe a little later. Maybe we can do it on the weekend that our neighbors to the south celebrate Thanksgiving. Who knows? But we'll see, okay? So please forgive me if you were really expecting and really wanting that thankfulness sermon, because you need to find some other way to be thankful today then. All right. But if you're new today, either in person or online, I do want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm so glad you joined us today, even though maybe you were expecting it to be a Thanksgiving message too. But what we're actually going to look at today is God's primary purpose for making people in the first place. If you were with us when we started this little series a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, you'll remember what our acronym was. And if you do remember it, I just want you to quickly put up your hand. Don't say anything, but just put up your hand if you remember what the acronym we're using is. What is it? It is Devin.
I am so thankful.
You win. You are so good for you. Notice everybody's paying more attention now? Yeah. Okay, I thought I'd start you off with an easy one. Obviously, a few of you are a little hesitant, but let's make it a little harder now. Does anybody here remember, again, don't yell it out. You got to put up your hand. Remember what did the first letter, the letter D, symbolize? What was our letter D? Does anybody remember what it was? Yes, Ellen? A little bit more than that. Disciples who make disciples. Close enough. All right. There you go, my dear. All right. Disciples who make disciples. If you're watching this online, I apologize. You can write your answers in the chat or in comments and come back, come here next week, and I'll make sure I've got something for you, okay? But you have to be here. Alrighty. Next one's even harder. Does anybody remember, again, put up your hands, what the Westminster Catechism mentioned? Or what it was? Does anybody remember what it was? See, this is a really good reason why you need to take those notes that I give you. There could be chocolate on the line, right? People are quickly going, where's my old ones? Anybody? Well, I may get to have a chocolate bar. Okay, the Westminster Catechism was a document created by the Church of England in the 17th century. I told you it was going to be a harder one. To help unite the different denominations at that time by writing down the beliefs they have in common, okay? So it was a document of unity, which is wonderful. And somehow we've forgotten it in the church, right? So that's what the Westminster Catechism is. Anybody remember, last one, maybe, what the very first point written in the Westminster Catechism was? And I'll give you the first part of it. The primary purpose of humanity is, and you know what? Yeah, Cole? You are the man. Good job. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I love that. Again, online folks, I'm sorry. Anyways, come next week. If you put it in the comments today and come back next week, I'll have chocolate bars for you, okay? Also, yeah, all you here are going to go home now quickly and type it in, right? Yeah. I'm watching you. Okay. Now, again, a little word of advice. The odd time you may find a pop quiz happening, so take those notes, because you never know when that might happen, all right? Okay, now, as I said in that talk a couple weeks ago, that is really what Cole said is really what worship is all about, glorifying and enjoying God, who he is and what he's done for us, right? But some people hear that, hear those words, and they think that God must be some kind of narcissistic megalomaniac if he needs and wants to be worshiped. And they would be right if God was just as flawed and broken as humanity is. But he's not. He's perfect and omnipotent, all-powerful. So he has no need of having his ego stroked. In fact, he has absolutely no needs at all. He is totally self-sufficient within himself. So then begs the question, why then did he create people to glorify and enjoy him, right? Because of God's most essential attribute. Anybody know what that is? Love. That was, well, you did after the fact. Love is God's most essential attribute. It's who he is, right? John, who's Jesus' closest friend and follower, explained that God is love. It's his essence, who he is. If we keep on loving others, he says, we will stay one in our hearts with God, and he will stay one with us. Now, you might wonder, as Tina Turner did, what's love got to do with it? Everything. You see, love that is pure and unconditional needs an outlet, because love is an action, not a feeling, folks. It's an attribute that needs an object to receive it. You cannot love if there's nothing or no one there to show love to. That's why God created people to be the objects of his love, to bestow his love upon them. And when we respond to the love God has shown us, that is called worship. So however and whenever we respond to God's love, we are in essence worshiping him. However, the concept of worship has taken on a whole lot of different meanings from different people and cultures and stuff, right? So when you mention the word worship, it can conjure up all kinds of images in people's minds. Because of this, well, I did a quick little Google search just to see what images came up, and I forgot to give them to Cole, so you'll have to just bear it. Anyways, you know, what images come up when you think of worship? I Googled it. It was interesting that the majority of the pictures that I saw really were of Christian worship gathering. I had to scroll through several pages to find a picture that was not associated with worshiping Jesus. It was amazing. It might have something to do with the algorithm of what I normally look at, but I tried to do it on a few different browsers just to see if it would come up different. You know, the other thing I found that was interesting is that all the pictures that I did see of Christian worship showed people either singing or posturing in prayer. And while these are definitely forms of worship, they're far from the only ways. In your outline, I've given you different ways that the Bible says we can express or worship, express our worship to God. I think it was one that Cole mentioned earlier, Psalm 100, verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. come before him with? Singing, right? Okay, so singing is a valid way to worship God. But gladness is a lot broader, isn't it? And refers really to our demeanor. It's about being glad-hearted, about being joyous, pleased that God is actually in our lives. Romans 12:1 says, offer your lives as a sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. This really broadens the playing field here, doesn't it? It says our whole lives are to be offerings of worship to God. Another psalm, Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, some commentaries I looked at said that this refers to worshiping through prayer. But, you know, like really showing gladness, I think this also points to the fact that we're to live with humble hearts. We're to be a humble people. There's a humility in worshiping our God. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Folks, this is why, right? Why we give to the Lord each week. It's not because the church needs your money. It's not. It's because it's a way to worship God by giving back a portion of what he actually is the one who gave to us, right? Acknowledging that everything we have, everything that we are, comes from him, right? Not from our own efforts. From him blessing us with the strength and the ingenuity in order to even be able to make a living. And this is so important for us to understand that he even attaches a promise of abundance. If we will trust and honor him in this way, right? It's amazing. There are a few things that the Lord says, you know, if you do this, literally he says, put me to the test in this, right? I think it's in the book of Micah. Put me to the test in this, and I'll prove it to you. But we don't, do we? We really don't. Let me give you one more way to worship. From 1 Corinthians 11, it says, the Lord Jesus took bread when he had given thanks to God for it. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, take this, eat it, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, or to remember me. Of course, this is regarding communion or the Lord's Supper, which we did last week. The word remember is the same word that's used to describe the sin offering of the ancient Hebrews. It was an act of worship that Jesus said is now carried over through his sacrificial offering of himself as our sin offering. Now, there are, of course, other forms of worship that the Bible actually describes. And if I were to cover them all, you would be here all day. Well, you wouldn't. I'd be by myself because you'd eventually leave. But there are a lot. You can look for them, and you'll find so many different ways that the Lord says that we can worship him. So let's get back then just simply to what worship is again. And simply stated, worship is just declaring the worth of something or someone. That's really what it is. It comes from the old English word, which is worth-ship, worth-ship. So with that definition in mind, yeah, that might be on the test next time, so write that down. With that in mind, though, worshiping God is not about getting his attention. It's not about trying to get his favor, right? It's not about fulfilling some sort of duty or performing some ritual. Worship is simply giving God the honor that is due him. Recognizing and acknowledging his worth, his value, and his place in our lives. Therefore, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, our worship should be three things: expressive, experiential, and empowering. And that should be especially evident during our times of corporate worship together, which is where the use of singing obviously is most evident and probably most appropriate. Why? Because during both the highs and the lows of life, humanity has used worship or music in a greater sense, used music to make songs to help express the deepest feelings of our souls. Where you get the blues from, folks? Anybody like the blues? Anyways, that's where it comes from, those deep feelings, right? Trying to express that through music. Why? Because our souls need an outlet. Otherwise, we'll blow up. Well, maybe not literally, but maybe. I don't know. Anyways, but our souls need an outlet because some of our deepest feelings, like grief, like anger, like awe, actually have the ability to overwhelm us. So today we're going to take a look at what it means to express, experience, and be empowered by our times of worship together here. And so let's look at our first point. You're wondering when I was going to get to that, weren't you? We should begin with expressing celebration. Expressing celebration. This is where we get to brag upon our great God, how awesome he is, celebrating who he is, declaring what he's done for us, right? And everyone. Look again at Psalm 100, verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. This was written by one of the greatest musicians and worshipers mentioned in the Bible, the famous shepherd king of Israel, King David. How does he say we should come before the Lord? Singing, yeah, with joy, singing with joy, right? That tells me that every church gathering should start with declaring God's greatness, proclaiming his victory, celebrating him, right? If thinking about Jesus' victory over sin and death for you and me doesn't get you riled up and get you start celebrating, then I don't think you fully understand what Jesus did for you. He left heaven, setting aside his power and authority. This is God of gods, right? The creator of all things. He was born as a baby to identify with humanity. Jesus lived his life showing us God's heart for people, the people he created, no matter who they are, what condition they were in. And he willingly laid down his own perfect life to pay the penalty for our imperfect lives of sin and rebellion against him. Then he rose again, defeating the power of death so that we could live forever with him. If that doesn't make you want to celebrate, then you might already be dead. Even David understood this because God had given him prophetic insight to look ahead to God's victory over sin and death through his son, Jesus Christ, the promised Savior at the time. And this is what we find in Psalm 118, where he wrote, "This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be happy. Let us celebrate." David could not hold back from rejoicing and celebrating. Even as God, especially as God showed him what was going to happen. He's like, wow, what an amazing God that would do that for us. Who is man that you would do this for him? Amazed. I think of that and I think, how much more should we who have actually experienced Jesus' victory rejoice and celebrate? This must be why David also wrote, "It made me glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord." Not sad, not mad, but glad, right? And I think that's the one thing I love most about getting together with the church. We come to celebrate. I believe church should be fun. It should be a celebration, not a funeral procession. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior, right? It should be joyous. I like dancing. I like shouting. I grew up in the 80s. I like it loud. Get the drums going. Get that bass cranked. I want to feel the music. But I also like things to be done in an orderly way. It shouldn't be out of control. Shouldn't be chaotic. It shouldn't be unprepared. Those things are not honoring to God. Not chaotic, celebratory. Our services should always be a celebration because we have an awesome God. And he likes to celebrate. You don't believe me? If you read through some of the oldest texts in the Bible, where God sets out how the ancient Hebrews were supposed to honor and worship God throughout the year, it's literally one party after another. Read through it. You can just Deuteronomy 15:16 lays out a whole bunch of the celebrations. It seems like every other month, and there's probably some in between there, but there's this week-long party. It's a festival. The Jews were to celebrate the early harvest, but that wasn't enough. Let's celebrate the late harvest too, right? They're to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt. Even how God took care of them when they were wandering through the wilderness because of their disobedience. He said, celebrate how I took care of you in the wilderness. And there are other celebrations all throughout the year for them. God is worth celebrating and loves to celebrate. Jesus himself even alluded to that in the story he told, as recorded by the early church historian named Luke. He said, imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time a lost soul turns to God. Wow. That, you know, folks, for me, there's nothing like a good celebration. But even our greatest times down here pale in comparison to the party that happens when someone turns to God by putting their faith in Jesus. That's why we must prioritize living out the Great Commission. I don't want the angels to get a rest. I want them to party continually, okay? But that's not really the reason why. The reason is there are still so many people who don't know this. They don't know about our great God and Savior and all that he's done for them. So that's why we must prioritize it. Second point is that worship is about experiencing inspiration. Worship is about experiencing inspiration. Have you ever had a Sunday morning when you went to church, but you really didn't want to be there? You don't have to put up your hands, because I know that's probably, there'd be way too many. Maybe that describes some of you today, but that's okay, because we've all been there. I've been there. It was a Sunday morning. I already felt like it was Monday morning, right? I went because I knew it was where I needed to be. And what I needed to be doing. Of course, being the pastor really helps motivate me as well. Still, I wanted to be there, but my body and my mind were really tired, right? It's like, I could just use another hour of sleep or whatever. Yet, every time I've had that feeling, I found God's promise that he gave to his ancient preacher and prophet Isaiah to be true. Cole read this as well. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a resource I use, Strong's Concordance. It says that the original Hebrew word for wait here means gather together, look patiently, tarry wait for, wait on, wait upon. Isn't that cool? I think that this is why God wants his people to gather together as we wait for Jesus to return, so that we can be inspired and our strength can be renewed by God and one another. The author of the letter to the early Hebrew church wrote, "Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his or Jesus' return approaches." This is why, no matter how we may feel on any given Sunday, when we come willing to offer our time to God, he takes us and he quickens us. He takes our service and he anoints it. He takes our offering and he blesses us for it. And in no time, you are the one who's feeling rejuvenated, right? Encouraged, even inspired. Your spirit is lifted and you're glad you came. Why? Because God's here. His spirit is here. When we gather together, his spirit dwells within us. So when we gather, it's like a Holy Spirit party, right? Because he's here with each one of us as we celebrate our great God. He is always with us. But how special is it when we gather together, eh? It's like a spiritual refilling station. The music, the message, sort of pour more spirit, more fuel into our lives, into our tank, as the Holy Spirit fills us with his presence and power. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit is what makes our gatherings church. Without God's presence, they're no more inspiring than a rotary meeting. Final thing about our times of worship on Sunday mornings is that everyone should leave this building with an empowering application. So when you come to church on Sundays, you're going to come, you're going to celebrate, you're going to be inspired, but you're going to hear something that will hopefully be applicable to help you prepare for what's ahead. This is where Paul's words to the church in Ephesus at that time, I think, are pivotal when it comes to the church. He says that Jesus himself appointed some as apostles, which are special messengers or representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers, that'd be me, and there's probably a number of you here with those gifts, to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, that's God's people, for works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. So as a pastor, I see my name in there, my role in there, right? To build up the church by preparing God's people for works of service, right? We're going to touch on that next week. That's why I try to be intentional in the talks that I give every Sunday, to give you something you can take away, that you can use in your life maybe on Monday morning. I don't want to waste any of your time by just giving you more information. We get way too much information as it is, folks. We can't even process all that we hear and see nowadays. The last thing you need is more information. So I try to bring you something that maybe will inspire you, that you can grab onto and use while you're living out your life, trying to fulfill God's purpose for you. I want to point you to the only one who can truly help you with what you'll be facing in the coming days and weeks, maybe months. I don't know what those things are. God knows. He knows. And if I can help you take one step closer to him, to trust him a little bit more or maybe even put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and God, then our time together has been a success. And God has been glorified through our time of worship together, right? So, as we bring this service of worship today to a close, let me ask you, are you ready to take that step today to Jesus? Have you heard enough that you're ready to turn to God by following Jesus as the Savior and leader of your life? If you are, whether you're here in person or watching online, I'm going to help you with a simple prayer to God. And if we can just bow our heads together, folks. Just pray along silently with me if that's you, and God will hear you. He already knows what's in your heart. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry for living how I want and ignoring you and your best for me. So I ask for your forgiveness. And I choose today to give you my life. I thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world, showing how much you love me and by dying for me, then rising again, proving that you are God and are able to help me to live for you from now on and forever. I want to live as a true worshiper in every area of my life, celebrating who you are and what you've done for me, so that others will know and turn to you as well. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus, my Savior and God. Amen. Before we finish with another song, band, you can feel free to come. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you please let me know? You can meet with me up here at the front afterward, after the song. Or you can fill out the Connect card, especially if you're online, that's connected, linked to our website, and hopefully in the comments or extra stuff there. And so if you could fill that out, that'd be awesome. I do have resources that I love to give out to people to help them as they start their journey with Jesus. And yeah, and just connect. Find out if there's something else that we can do to help. All right, I'm going to turn it back to Cole.